Certainly the readings this weekend are challenging if you really listen to them. From Leviticus, the law book, the second law book of the Old Testament, or the First Testament, we have in there that we are called to be holy. To be holy. Go to the Gospel, and we're called to be perfect. That's fairly challenging in anyone's language. But then if you go to St. Paul's reading to 1 Corinthians, our second reading today, we're called there to be foolish so that we can understand and learn what true wisdom is. So be holy, be perfect, and then be foolish. Most of us would probably go with understanding or experiencing the foolishness before we experience holiness, let alone perfection. But sadly, foolishness is given to us or judged by us, judged upon us by other people. Sometimes we make our own mistakes and we can acknowledge that was a pretty silly thing to do. But it's usually other people that throw their judgment on us that make us appear foolish. So with holiness and with perfection, what is the key to holiness then in our life? Well, perhaps that also comes from St. Paul's reading to the Corinthians today, when he says that holiness is in the temple. And then he says that you are that temple. Remembering that the temple for the Israelites was the centre of their faith. But by the time Paul had written his words, the movement of the church had well and truly begun. And so the temple, that symbolic heart of Judaism, that had moved for the early Christians. And it was really Paul's writing that was embedding in us and in the early church that the individual is where holiness exists, and in the community is where holiness exists. And when the individual and the community work together, particularly in the area of charity and looking after the poor, when we work together, then we are on the way to perfection. So we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Within each of us individually, God is present. Therefore, holiness is present. You may not realise that or be aware of that, but we say that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and this community is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We would still be this temple of the Holy Spirit whether we had this roof above us or not, because God is present, is holy within each and every one of us. I know that that might seem a little bit far-fetched in one sense, because how do we experience holiness? Well, if God is present in me and holiness exists, that just means that wherever I go in the course of my life, whatever room in my life I happen to be in, God is present. So in the domestic situation, if you're at home and you're doing whatever has to be done around the house or within the house, God is present. That house, therefore, becomes a temple. Whatever it is, you might be cleaning the floors or whatever, that floor then becomes the sanctuary of the temple. And that makes each and every one of us, therefore, and each and every one of you, therefore, a priest in the temple by virtue of your baptism. Wherever you are, in your workplace or out in the field, you turn that soil or you turn that space into the temple of God, because you are present and God is in you. Our task, which is the role of perfection, or the challenge of perfection rather, is to make sure that we do this together, that we are seen not just to be doing the right thing, to be reflecting the love and the mercy of God, but we actually are reflecting the love and the mercy of God. Everything that we say and do must reflect that holiness. And that's challenging in a world where, particularly nowadays, there is a sense of trying to remove the sacred, to remove our understanding and experience of holiness. Because the language of holy people isn't the language of modern day society. I was astounded during the week to read that in some part of Australia, the government is starting to push doctors in training to teach them the art, if you want to call it that, or the misart of euthanasia. Teaching doctors how to take the life of those who were suffering. I always understood that those in the medical world took an oath called the Hippocratic Oath, which was to preserve life to whatever means we possibly can, not to take life. And I look at governments, for example, in parliaments where they want to remove prayer, particularly at the beginning of a parliamentary session. I would suggest to you that even in our own life, let alone in government, if we take holiness out, if we take the presence of God out of something, it will be filled. That gap will be filled, even in your own life. It will be filled with something else. And all of a sudden, it may be the governments or households who've taken God out, removed the holiness. They will come together as a group of self-made men and women who come together to worship their Creator. That's a very spooky place to be, because they start to worship themselves. That's what happens when people remove holiness, remove the presence of God. These are challenging times, but they were challenging times in Jesus' day. They were challenging times in St. Paul's day as well. They were much more violent times in one sense than what we experience in our world today. Through the course of our freedom on the journey to our way of perfection, with the knocks and the bumps that we all experience, individually, the house of holiness that is me and that is you, it can have some of the tiles removed in the storms of life. But together, we actually keep an eye on each other and we exhibit to the rest of the world great signs of hope, of charity, of peace, and of genuine love. And biblical love is not erotic. Biblical love is coming close to God. So whenever we hear the word hate, which you did hear in the gospel this morning, hate in the scriptural sense means distancing oneself. Love means bringing together. So in our life, on our journey of perfection, let us be people, therefore, of genuine holiness. And sometimes learning from our foolishness, but always travelling together on the path to perfection.